greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I welcome all to this part of the service. We have several visitors here. It's good to have you here with us from west to a little bit to different places. I don't know where you're all from, but it's good to, I think so it was wonderful to be able to get together and communicate. It's a little bit what I'd like to talk about this morning. I've entitled the message, Communication, a Blessing or Curse. And it's interesting, we often think of communicating as words. We've heard a lot of different words this morning, all through the service. We've sang together. But a while back when we were traveling, I noticed this nice SUV came up beside us. And I noticed the driver and the passenger. She was somehow driving, but in her driving, they were doing all this kind of stuff back and forth, and I started watching them, and I picked up speed a little bit so I could kind of keep an eye on them, and they were laughing and talking and just sign language back and forth. And, you know, they were communicating. They were telling each other stories. It'd been interesting. It would definitely be a little bit different than what most of us are used to. Ways they're used to communicating. You have a little bit hard time. I don't know how she was doing all her. She was doing a lot with one hand, but to be able to drive to do that, to be able to eat and communicate, you know, we can. It'd be different, but it was communication, and it was a blessing that they could do that for whatever reason it was that they weren't talking to each other. Whether it was, you know, words are one of the ways that God gave man to communicate. You know, God created the world through words. He said, let there be light, and there was light. It started from the beginning of mankind. And God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree. What one tree in the garden, they understood that. But you know that Satan beguiled Eve and talked her into eating from that tree. Words can be used for positive or negative. You know, a judge can say a couple words, and a prisoner is led to his cell on death row. You know, a gossiper tells a story about someone and their reputation is ruined or there's a blemish on it. As parents and teachers, we have a lot of responsibility with words. And I had to, as I thought about this, as I was meditating and thinking and thinking about the church, thinking about the, we have a council meeting and communion coming up. And as I was sitting in here Tuesday evening, it was just such a blessing to me. I had to think of the what Jesus said, unless you become as one of these little ones, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or something like that. We had a group of all the way from up here down to that little circle down there in the front, and they were looking at the director. They were, in fact, some of these little ones maybe did just a little bit. They all did real good. But it just blessed me to see these little ones, probably in the six-year-old range, stand there and just focus and put their whole heart into it. And they blended. Isn't that what God's desire is for his church, for his people? And I had to wonder, if that's not, when he says we become as one of these little ones, if that's not part of it, just a complete, just completely focused, and like we heard last Sunday, that we have a vision, that we have a focus that's the same, and they harmonized, and they were enthusiastic, and you know, as do we, as a congregation, do we find it hard to be enthusiastic sometimes? Do we find it hard to be, when we're a part of the kingdom that Joseph was talking about, do we find ourselves lagging, or it's a drudgery, it's just something that we're enduring, it's something that we're, you know, or do we find ourselves with the enthusiasm that group had there Tuesday evening? That was such a blessing to me. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." You know, speech is a wonderful gift from God. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. It's only by God's help and His grace that we can use our tongue in the right way. And when a child begins to say words, and we have some little ones here that are getting right at that stage, and it's so much fun. It's so exciting to see them formulating words and imitating and starting to talk. You know, in their innocent way, they say things just the way they are, the way they see them. And sometimes it can get a little embarrassing as a way of keeping us humble. You know, they say that learning to talk is different than learning a lot of other things. It's different than learning to tell time or learning how our government system works. It's a distinct piece of the biological makeup of our brains. You know, do we look at it as a miracle, a gift, to be able to communicate like that, to be able to talk? If you want to turn with me to James chapter 3, I'd like to, we went through this in our memory selection here not very long ago, but he brings it out so well. I'd like to read James 3, the first 12 verses. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain yield, both yield salt water and fresh." You know, sometimes when the words don't line up, when somebody can speak such positive words, maybe even can speak very religiously, but then something turns around, something goes wrong, and then there's a string of profanity. You know, we know that something's wrong. It doesn't line up. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. James uses three comparisons: the power to direct, the bit, and the rudder. You know, it's interesting to watch a good horseman, or a horse that's been in it with a horse that's been trained well. You know, that little bit can just make that horse do what its owner wants it to do, if they know what they're doing, and in a short time, or they can be trained that way with a bit. And there's something that's so neat about that, to be able to get on a horse that's been trained, and you have a trust. You know this horse is going to do most of the time what you want it to do. There is the part that I know one fellow that we bought a horse from. He said, "Remember this," he said, "it's not will you get hurt, it's when you'll get hurt and how bad it will be on a horse." So you can't. There are times that will let you down. I just heard recently of one. They were down horse riding, and this very well-trained horse, and it was not characteristic of this horse at all. He ended up going over the hood of a vehicle's foot, coming down to the windshield, and he finally got off, and he stepped out, and he was shaking, but he was all right again. He was back to normal. All they could figure out is he had a seizure or something, and he just didn't know what he was doing. So, you know, those kind of things can happen. And then horses get Sometimes for no reason at all, they seem to do strange things. But a good horse, you can usually, the owner knows him. They can depend on him. He will do what they want him to do. And he wants to do what its owner wants him to do. We take a ship, that's a little different. That's just a vessel. And you talk with people that get out on the in the bay area, and they talk about going through these very windy areas, and they're on edge till they get through there and try to maneuver their boat through there, through that rough part. But you know, they know how to handle it. They know how to work with it. Someone that's not savvy in that area probably may not make it through those rough places. But the captain knows how to do it. The tongue, it says, is a fire. And you know, fire is, it's good. It's we'd have a hard time making it without fire. But you know, if you've been keeping up with what's going out west right now, you know, a fire that gets out of control is terrible. And you know, if you follow through with some of those stories of them trying to drive out of a fire. And you know, when we think of fire, often we think of a fire in a home, or we think of you just get out of the house, you get away from it. But in this case, get out of the house didn't help. There was fire everywhere. There was fire on both sides of the roads. There was fire up overhead. There was fire everywhere, and they're driving along, and these firebrands are just coming down on top of the car. And some of the some of them would be crying out to God as they drove. Others were using language that was not very opposite of that. But you had to wonder, the what went through there as you go along, and I know watching it on a screen is so small compared to the reality of it. But it just made you shiver to think of that fire everywhere. There was one, and we thinking of words. There was one man that Bledsoe, I think is his last name. He was a 70-year-old man. He was a big man, a healthy looking man, and he left his home here a couple weeks. Whenever that fire went through Paradise there in California. He had a doctor's appointment. There was a fire, but it was across the lake. It was on the other side of the dam. And he went down to his doctor's appointment, and then got his wife called him and said, the fire's here. And he tried to get back. He had a 4-year-old granddaughter and a 5-year-old grandson there in the house. And he tried to get back. But as he was going back, he met all these cars coming out. He couldn't make head, a terrible time getting there. He finally got almost there, and he had his grandson on the phone. And his grandson, and as the news anchor, as she was relating with him there, she said, you were on the phone with him. You were doing everything you could to comfort them. And he was. The little fellow said, Grandpa, he said, we're waiting for you. And he said, I'm coming. And he said, the little boy said, don't come in the back door. There's flames there. And he said, he's coming. And he was. He tried his best, but the firefighters kept him back. And, you know, the fire was up overhead. It was like there wasn't fire on the ground, but there was fire overhead, spinning like a tornado up there. His son came up the backside, and he jumped out to try to go. And his hair caught on fire. The hair burned off his arms. And he couldn't breathe. It just sucked the air out of him. And he managed to get back in the car, and he got out. But, you know, there's nothing they could do. And he bemoaned the fact that if only I would have just broke through and went anyway. He said, I could have done something. And, you know, but there was... But the news anchor said, but you gave words of comfort. You encouraged. You did the best you could. And I had to think of words. You know, he did everything he could with words. But there was... there was nothing he could do to save the lives there. But, you know, the tongue has a lot of potential for good words. Words spoken in right spirit can help send a person in the right direction. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in baskets of silver. You know, in the same token, a wrong word or maybe even just a wrong expression can have the potential to send a person in the wrong direction. Psalm 14:1 says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. You know, asking God to set a watch before my mouth. Matthew 13:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, the thing that stood out to me in these, where these people were trying to get out of this fire, is the difference in words. You know, what was there was coming out in these terrible circumstances. What was on the inside didn't change even in those circumstances. It may have some, but it was still there. Jesus isn't saying, he says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, words are finally a product of what is on the inside. Jesus isn't saying that self-control alone will justify you. But I think he's saying it's the flowing out. It's the fruit that we heard about last Sunday when we're walking in the Spirit. Then the fruit of the Spirit will manifest itself in our words. It's going to be part of who we are. Ephesians 5 says, Be therefore as followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. And we say, well, that's okay, that's there. But then he goes on and says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then he goes on in verse 12, he says, For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. I want to think a little bit about what Paul says here. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. You know, our Sunday school lesson talks about rejoicing evermore, in everything giving thanks. And I think that's such a vital part of, should be, so, that affects our words so directly. And it was interesting to me here recently. And I don't think my father-in-law will care if I say this, but he called us during the night. Blood pressure was up pretty high. And I did a little bit of searching on what you can do for high blood pressure, looked at what Mayo Clinic says, and they had a list of several things there. And the very last one said, express gratitude. And, you know, that was interesting to me. That was one of the things on the list to keep our blood pressure down. Express gratitude. So I think a grateful person will express gratitude. And I don't think that's why my father-in-law's was high, because he does express gratitude a lot. But, you know, I think what it told me is that what we find in Scripture, what we found in our Sunday school lesson about rejoicing, about being grateful, it's more than just what we should do. It's more than just what the Christian should be doing. It is essential. to our health, to our, excuse me, essential to our well-being. I don't believe Paul is saying that humor itself is wrong. But if it's used to destroy or tear down the reputation of others, it falls in this category. You know, I think sometimes the things we're affected too much by the media, the things we listen to, the things we watch. And it's what's so different today is with a click of a button, you can send something to hundreds or a thousand people. I mean, it goes all over. So you can have something that's maybe some humor in it, but it might be sensuality. There may be it may be humor at the expense of somebody's hurt. And is that really something? Is that really what we want to share? Is that really, if we pass that on, aren't we saying this is who I am? This is what I endorse. This is the kind of things that I watch. I think we need to be careful in that kind of thing. We heard a little bit in our Sunday school lesson. Somebody mentioned as we were talking about working together. They mentioned gossip, and you know, I think last Sunday we heard about truth. You know, what is truth, and how easily things can get. It can be partial truths, but how easy things can get set up for truth that aren't really truth. I came across a little saying here I'd like to read. It says, "My name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I'm cunning and malicious and gather strength with experience. I topple governments and ruin churches and marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartaches and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am called gossip." You know, that sounds pretty strong. But isn't that how it really is? You know, when we're dealing with information and communication, it's important to think through our actions in order to avoid gossip and slander. I think we need to ask ourselves whether or not we need to speak about what we know. And there's some simple rules we can follow. Is it kind? You know, if it is, then we need to speak it. We need to share it. Is it true? And just because it is true doesn't mean there may be someone we need to share it with, but it doesn't mean if it's not kind, we need to be very careful. That fact that it's true doesn't automatically mean it should be shared. Is it necessary? You know, sometimes we need to share things. Sometimes we need to, for instance, if your brother is involved in his sin or something, but even then there is correct ways to follow through with that. Have we followed Matthew 18? We need to make sure that we're not doing it under the guise of brotherly love. You know, if it feels good, we better check our motives. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." You know, pretending friendliness when it's not there, to utter slander against. "The utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame or damage another's reputation." That's gossip. You know, often gossip comes from wanting to lift ourselves up. It's pride. We feel superior. You know, if we can talk about someone else, it's picking our own selves up. Excitement comes from gossip because it's a human nature to want to hear dirt on others and repeat it. You know, that's easy to tell by the tabloids, the things, the papers that you see sold at the grocery store counters, filled with dirt about the rich, the famous people. And along with that, maybe we'd say, well, we're not involved in that. We don't buy those. We don't read those. But along with that, I think we need to be careful what news sites we go to. We may not consider buying one of those tabloids, but do we go to news sites that are about the same caliber? That are filled with dirt? Are the things, you know, do they build us up, or are they tearing down? Are they true? You know, there are sites there that are, they're simply there to pull people in, to get people because that's what people are looking for. President Reagan's first labor secretary, Raymond Donovan, he resigned from his post after numerous rumors that he'd done wrong. He said after spending more than $1 million in legal fees to defend himself, Donovan was cleared of all charges. Coming out of the courtroom to talk to reporters, he asked, "Where do I get my reputation back?" You know, he was proven innocent, but his reputation was tainted. It was very hard to get back. Gossip also hurts the gossiper. According to psychiatrist Antonia Wood, when you speak ill of someone, you alienate yourself from that person. Guilt is an emotion we feel when we know in our hearts that it is wrong to slander and talk about someone behind his or her back. She says, "Have you ever tried to look someone in the eye after you've talked about him or her behind their back?" You know, if we're guilty of gossip, what can we do to change? I think number one is acknowledge what gossip is. It's sin. It's wrong. Confess and repent and let God clean our hearts. Release any pride or fear that is keeping you from making the changes you need to make. Pray for those you hurt and for those that have hurt you. You know, we need to ask God for strength to resist being pulled into negative conversations. You know, there may be times to simply say that this, you know, is this what we should be talking about? Or I like the thought someone mentioned in Sunday school, bring in positive things. Remove yourself from situations that get you into gossiping. Be willing to challenge someone that starts talking negatively about someone. You know, I'm saying these things not because I feel or this is just something that's seriously going on here, but I think it's something that we all deal with. And it's something that, as a brotherhood, that should not be in our midst. It's something that we should see. I think what we should feel with each other and see with each other is what we had in this group that was up here singing, their hearts together in unison, singing. And there was different parts, there was different voices, but they blended. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Are our words ministering grace to those that hear us? Do they edify? I'd like to put a little acronym here on the board. If you take think there, you know, and put, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If what we are about to say doesn't pass that test, then I think we should think some more. Think through it. You know, where will this take us? And think, you know, sometimes when we get into stressful situations, and I guess by stressful, I'm talking about dire situations. I was thinking about the ones that were trying to escape from the fire. There was quite a few cases where they would call one of their loved ones and say, "We don't think we're going to make it. So we love you," and give words of encouragement. You know, that those words were words that were put into perspective. And those words were words that they thought were probably going to be their last words, very likely. And if we would keep that perspective, that the words we say may be our last words, it may be our last words, it may be the last words they hear. You know, how different would our words be? How many less regrets would we have? I'll leave it there. Matthew says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, I like the illustration of when you have a sponge that's full of something and you squeeze the sponge, what comes out? Whatever it's been soaked up in that sponge. You know, so does our tongue when we are squeezed. That's what comes out. It's our fallen nature can make that quite hostile. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's something we must not take lightly. If we go on in James chapter 1, verse 26, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know, when we give ourselves to Christ, when we become a part of that kingdom, doesn't that include our tongues? Doesn't that include what we say? I quoted that verse out of Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then he goes on and says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, the Christian speech should be pure and clean. It should edify, minister grace to those that hear us, should build up character. The words that go from our mouths will probably be forgotten, but they will leave their mark. They will either beautify or mar. They build up or tear down. They brighten or make things darker. You know, it's like the fossils that the geologists dig up. The footprints or the leaves that have fallen. The imprints are still clearly there in the rocks. They leave their mark. You know, we heard this morning in the devotional and opening about Jesus' words. You know, his words met the need of the hour. His words lifted hearts. He left a gift or a blessing with everyone he met. You know, we don't know what's going on in everyone's life that we meet like Jesus did, but you know, I believe we should seek, like we heard in the opening there, to be his hands and his feet. Seek to leave a positive in with those that we meet. Be a ray of sunshine. I believe Christ's speech was like all his life was. It warmed those he came in contact with. And we have the verse in Psalms that says, thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. You know, the easiest thing to do when we're with friends or we're with somebody that is gossiping or speaking unkindly is to listen or just to join in, or, you know, we don't want to be confrontational. The easiest thing to do is just to drop in the stream and drift with the tide. But God wants us to be a light, to stand out for him. You know, Jesus, the one who was holy, the one who was harmless and perfect in every way, didn't escape slander. He was despised, rejected of men, brought as a sheep to the slaughter. So how can we who are not perfect expect anything less than that? What is our response? I think we can find the refuge that the psalmist was talking about by having the peace of God in our own hearts. If we're in a right relationship with God, we can find the pavilion that David talks about. In his presence, in his love, our heart can be at rest. You know, even when the snow covers the daffodils in the spring, when the snow melts away, the daffodils are still there, as beautiful as they were. Even though, you know, I think that we can compare that to sometimes things we face. You know, we don't have to let a harsh environment take away the beauty. that Christ gives us. Our speech should be an encouragement to each other. Now, there are people that you spend time with that you leave maybe feeling hollow or shallow. I think you know what I'm talking about. You just feel a little bit washed out. It wasn't really an upbuilding time. You know, on the contrary, there are those that you spend time with that when you leave, you feel built up, you feel refreshed, you feel revived, you feel ready to face what's ahead. You know, what kind of person am I? What kind of person are you? Are you that kind of person? Now, granted, we all sometimes are the kind that need, that are on the low time and we need some input, need some help. But what's characteristic of us? I know personality tends to make a difference. Sometimes some of us find it easier to look on the negative side while others on the positive. But I think that's something we can work with. We need to look on the positive side. You know, the light, the green light or the red light, what is it? Finally, in closing, it says, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, that gives us a lot to think about. And there's a lot of verses we could pick out of Proverbs that talk about the tongue and talk about words. I'll maybe just pick out a couple of them here. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. And one more, Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Speech is a mirror of the soul. As a man speaks, so is he. The verses we just read there, you know, we have what our words should be on the positive side. Healthy, pleasant, wholesome, sweet, life, food, valuable. You know, the tongue's power to do good is incalculable. It can impart valuable knowledge, inspire, bring comfort in time of distress, sorrow and distress. Let's be that kind of person. Let's strive to be that kind of person that brings that our words are something that are positive, that brings joy, that brings peace to situations. And I think it goes along so well with what we heard last Sunday there on the Sermon on the Mount, the different aspects of mercy, truth, peacemakers. Let's strive to be that kind of a person that leaves a positive, that our mark will leave a positive, be a positive to those we come into contact with. Let's kneel for prayer.